All right. Indigo Girls with us live here on 90.7 FM WFUV, and that's a tune from the brand new album called Come On Now Social. A phrase that does not actually exist anywhere on this album.
That's true.
Where did it exist in another song called
Measure of Me that is not actually really done yet, but something that, I don't know, just the word. We were trying to think of titles, and that came up as a possibility, and it seemed to sort of give the meaning of, I don't know what, like find your place in the world kind of thing. It fit with these songs for some reason, I'm not sure. The songs are social in different ways, activist ways, and social, like, relationships, you know. It'd probably work for any record, but it works for this one.
Yeah, it does, and it's kind of definitely a phrase that could mean different things depending on how you want to look at it at that time. I mean, to me, it's definitely like a call to action of some sort.
Yeah.
That's what I get from it.
It's that, of some sort. That's the question. Are you calling to action for yourself to be part of the world, or are you calling to action for yourself to live up to some kind of false standard? And it's those questions in your mind of what is it that you're supposed to be called to action for? So,
what's the context in the song as it stands now?
In the song, it's more of me saying to myself as I'm growing up, how I want you to be something different than you are, and you're not able to be. And it was the peer. I was at that time. I was talking more in the terms of like peer pressure, and like it's a song about gender identification. That song is, and came out of sort of an interesting experience when I was single for a couple of years and asked this guy out, and everywhere we went at this club that we were at, people didn't know we were together. They would come talk to me as if he wasn't there, or vice versa, because they just assumed that I would always be with a woman. And then I also felt just very substandard, sort of trying to go out with this guy, and it just brought up a lot of issues of high school with me, you know, like feeling like not a complete woman just because you're not heterosexual sometimes, and so that kind of has nothing to do with Indigo Girls, but well, it has everything to do with Indigo Girls, actually.
Sure, it does.
Nothing to do with this record.
That's kind of cool. Yesterday was National Coming Out Day.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny, I thought, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. We're talking to the Indigo Girls here at 90.7 FM WFUV. You guys have written some very quotable phrases that I think so many of us have kind of carried. Either I've just gotten them all, or you've really written quite a few of them. I'm not sure which it is. But, and Emily, we'll start with you with this question. Does sometimes a song start with you with a phrase? And then we'll ask you too, Amy.
Typically not.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I'll start writing a song. I'll sit down. If I'm with my guitar, I'll start, you know, coming up with a chord progression that feels interesting or is taking me someplace emotionally, and then I'll start thinking about something that's been on my mind recently, if it's a world event or something that's happened between another person and me or whatever I've been observing. And then I just sort of like start spouting out lyrics, half of them maybe nonsensical at first, and see how they fit into the chord progression, and then it's a series of, you know, editing as I go along, and then after a while it becomes a song. But it sort of happens at the same time.
So you've written some of those scrambled eggs kind of tunes.
Yeah,
remember that, like, story that McCartney, you know, those were the words that he wrote for Yesterday for a while. He just had the melody, and it was just like scrambled eggs.
Yeah, that's funny.
So you've had some of those.
It's not quite that funny, actually. Mine aren't quite that funny. They're just a lot of non-syllabic mutterings, I guess, but it all comes together in there.
Because you even see it at some of your shows, how folks really connect with certain lines, and
it's
just amazing. There have just been some really some phrases where I think you've really been able to connect with people, where a song could just kind of come down to, you know, a phrase or two,
right,
which is really, I guess, also a sign of a well-edited tune, where you kind of chip away until you get down to the heart of it.
Well, I think you're right about those phrases. For the ones that people really hook into, they're the ones that speak to them maybe loudest in the song, and typically they have a lot to do with what the whole song is about, the phrases that people pick out like that.
Yeah. How about you, Amy, in terms of that phrase questions?
Well, I think Emily is the master of finding the phrase that people connect with. So, I do. But I start a song from just, you know, tons of just sitting around and writing, you know, like in my car, at a restaurant, in a bar, you know, wherever. I just write everything down. And then when I'm playing guitar, I'll spread it all out in front of me and just kind of, if anything matches with what I'm playing, I'll grab it and start working on it. Sometimes I'll finish, like I had left a song, this song, Go, I had left it dormant for a long time, like years. And I was walking down the sidewalk, actually down in the East Village, and thinking a lot about reggae music and how much I loved it. And I was like, I know the kids are still upsetters, rock is cool, but the struggle is better. And I was like, wow, that fits with something I've written, and I can't figure out what. And then I finished the song.
It almost seems like you could have walked by a building and seen that written on a wall somewhere, you know?
Yeah, maybe I did.
It is such a great phrase, and it is, it's kind of cool that it was inspired by New York.
Oh, totally, East Village, yeah.
How about Gone Again? Tell us a little bit about what went into pulling that song together.
That was actually pretty much a literal song, a story. We were over in Australia, and, I was having just some different relationship kind of things, thinking about relationships and whether or not people really want to mend when they're, you know, hurt or burned or something, you know. And I was kind of walking around, because sometimes you can get into your where you are. If you're like half a person, it almost feels normal. And it felt normal to me for a long time, and so I felt good in that way. And it's just the different things that happened to me in that trip, you know. Pretty literal, actually.
Wow. Do you want to play that?
Sure.
Let me tune this guitar up real quick.
We recorded this, actually, with at a place called Jerrisville, which is our old drummer's studio, Jerry Murata's studio, with Garth Hudson playing keys and Rick Danko playing bass. So it kind of added to the whole thing, because the band's, like, always been one of my favorite bands of all time, and to have those guys. And they're so, I don't know, timeless and kind of story-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a lot of stories to tell, and they have a lot of stories in what they play, and so I wish they were here today. I have to imagine their parts. Okay, do you need to hear this? Okay.